Hi, this is Dee Blick. Welcome to Lead Well, Live Well for UK Health Radio. Hello and a warm welcome to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick for UK Health Radio, the world's biggest talk health radio station. Now, I have got the most incredible woman in the studio today. I've known her as a professional and also as a friend for many years. And in this time, I have seen her career rise like a meteor. She's been quite astonishing in how she's become a globally recognized social media marketer, a best-selling author of the most incredible fiction books that I truly recommend you buy, even if just for a holiday read. And she's about to embark on her first non-fiction book. So a warm welcome to today's guest, Michelle Betts.
Thank you for that amazing introduction, Dee. I'm really happy to be here today.
It's lovely to have you. And really, I mean, you have had this meteoric rise as a social media. I use the word influencer, but I know how much you are about gravitas, about delivering. You're not a person who's into hype and fluff and what have you. But you actually found your talent for social media working for an estate agent, didn't you? And I just wondered if you'd share that story.
I did indeed. So I had come off maternity leave with my eldest, who is turning 21 this year. So we're going back a little way here. Yeah. And got a job in an estate agent doing not showing houses or selling properties, but more working within the office. I was writing web pages. I set them up a weekly newsletter and then said I'd like to expand my hours. And they said, oh, this thing called Twitter's starting to take off. That gives you an indication of how long ago we're looking at. Yeah. And Facebook had just let businesses set up business pages. So I started with that and went, wow, this has got huge potential to reach a lot of people. Our social media was driving more traffic to our website than Rightmove was, which is an incredible thought. Yeah. And we won an award for our social media. And then Zoopla launched us in the top property 100 influencers in the UK. And we were number 5. And we were up there with Hamptons and Knight Frank. And as a little independent estate agent in Sussex, that was incredible. And from that, there were some articles in the local paper. And people said, well, you kind of know what you're doing with this social media. Can we have some training? I love nothing more than a PowerPoint presentation and a flip chart. I've got a training qualification from years ago, so ran some training courses. People then came back and said, we loved the training course, but we don't love doing the social media so much. Could you do it for us? So I started building up a bank of retained clients, and that then became enough that I moved from working for the estate agent. They became a social media client of mine, and I made the move to running my own business.
No, what I love about that story, and I interview so many entrepreneurs on this show, is that you almost accidentally fell into something that you've since become internationally renowned for. And I always find that to be quite a powerful story. There was no burning ambition. You were in the right place at the right time. They happened to find you and think, crikey, we're going to give this job to Michelle. You could have gone through it. You could have plodded through it and decided it wasn't for you. But I remember at the time you just threw yourself into it. And then I think, look now where it's got you with the, you know, recognition globally. And before we talk about your clients and about the conference and your recent award, what really fascinates me, and I know that you and I have spoken about it before, is that you've got these incredible clients now. You've got a roster of really great clients all over the place. Do they come to you expecting to go viral? Because that's something that I see with a lot of the influencers. They're this view that, oh gosh, they've got like 300,000 likes. I want that. So does that happen with you still?
It does. I actually have some little ironic stickers that I hand out to people that say, make it go viral. And I always liken going viral. It's a bit like a one-night stand versus a long-term relationship. Is you could have one piece of content that goes viral, and it's because it's entertaining, it's funny, or people go, do you know what, we're going to share this because there's something there that just makes it very shareable.
Yeah.
But you don't know that those people are your customers. So I watched a lady on Instagram who said she went viral. She had 2 million views on one of her videos. She came on a week later and she said, you would have thought with 2 million views that the phone would have been ringing off the hook, the online orders would have been coming through. She said, 2 extra orders last week and about 10 extra actual followers added to her audience. And that's with 2 million views on an Instagram reel. It's about your target audience. I would rather have an audience of 5,000 people that my followers, my target audience, the people that I want to work with, the people that want to work with me, than 50,000 followers who are just following me for no apparent reason. Because I did a giveaway and said, like me and follow me and win a £50 Amazon voucher. So actually, they're never going to interact with my content. They're going to do me a disservice. I've got 50,000 followers who never like, comment, share, or save, which means I'm not going to get in front of the right people. So it's all about having the right audience and getting your content in front of the right people. And a lot of those influencers that you see getting 30,000 likes on something or 15,000 comments, there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors going on there sometimes. So it's worth delving a little bit deeper. And if you're going to work with an influencer, check their audience. Is your audience and its genuine engagement with their content.
Wow, I just find that is so powerful. But I think that's the curve of you've got a very common sense, expertise driven approach. And I think that really shuts the door on this notion that I've had hundreds of thousands of likes, because the example you gave, she got a couple of clients. It's just quite astonishing. And I find it reassuring that there are professional women like yourself, Michelle, that are out there banging this drum that anything that's worth getting, you've got to work at it, you've got to be precise, you've got to be targeted, and you've got to be relevant. So I think that's a salutary lesson for anybody in business that thinks their mission for social media is to go viral, because what you're saying is the mission is relevance, the right message to the right audience at the right time. And it's great that there are very high profile women like yourself out there that are conveying that message. And I just want now to talk about your trip to America, because every year we've got a couple of minutes to the first break, and every year you go to America and it's not on your holidays. And so I'd love you to tell us about the confidence that you the conference that you attend, and your recent award, you've won more than one award, I know, but tell us about the conference and then tell us about your awards.
So conference-wise, there's Social Media Marketing World, which happens in the States every year, 3 days of the most incredible speakers who they talk to people at LinkedIn, talk to people at Instagram, they know people at Facebook. So they really do know their stuff. They're absolute experts in their field. And it had always been my dream to go. So I think 3 years ago, I worked incredibly hard and I had a little Social Media Marketing World pot that the funds went into so that I could go to America for those 3 days to conference. So I go, soak up everything like a sponge, come back, I put it into practice for my clients, but I also run a lot of group training courses and individual one-to-ones off the back of it as well, helping people expand and grow their knowledge. I think it's really important with social media is I bring corporate experience, independent experience from previous jobs, but also the social media experience that I really work very hard to keep up to date.
Yes.
To know that it's not about going viral. It's about knowing that if we use the Edits app, we'll get more reach on Instagram. It's all the little tips and tricks that you can bring into practice that help you reach the right people at the right time.
We've got a minute to the break. I want you to tell my lovely listeners about awards. Tell me about your latest award, because I know that came on my LinkedIn feed and it was like, here she goes again. Here she goes again, winning another award.
So one of my clients that I work with, we won a best social media content campaign for that particular award, which was incredible. I have got one that's currently embargoed that's coming out in July. So that's a little bit watch this space for that one, because I'm particularly excited about that. And a couple of years ago, I won most influential woman on social media in the UK.
Yes.
So that was very exciting as well.
That was the one I was thinking about, because when I've tracked your journey, as I have over the years as a friend and as fellow professionals, it's been really great for me to see the hard work that you invest in getting those baseline strategies and messages right, which is obviously witnessed through the clients that you bring on board, but that this is recognized, that you're recognized because you're a woman of gravitas and of genuine reach and influence and know-how, rather than just somebody who goes all out there to shine these little shiny symbols of social media and talk about viral, which is, it's fantastic that there are women out there like you that are driving this. So we're going to go to a quick break now. Don't go away, because after the break, I'm not just going to be talking to Michelle about the type of clients that she takes on. We are going to dig deep into her best-selling status as an incredible writer of fiction, the woman that turned her skills to books.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick, and I've got the fabulous social media siren, Michelle Betts, in the studio today. So, Michelle, before we talk about your books, because I think that's just got to take up so much of our interview, you're incredible prowess as a writer. Tell me about the sort of clients that you take on. I would imagine they're quite varied and differing in size.
They are very varied and they do differ in size. I think pre-pandemic, I was reading a lot online about niching. There was a big move to you should be niching. So I was going to niche in retail pre-pandemic. I had a number of retail clients and was thinking that would be really good. That's going to be my niche. Thank goodness I didn't, because we hit the pandemic and three of my retail clients went, do you know what? We've had enough. We're not moving the business forward any further. So I was like, good, diversity is fantastic. Let's keep a wide variety of clients across a huge number of industries. So I still work with an estate agent because they obviously like the fact that I have experience of working with an estate agent. But I've done webinars for global companies. A number of years ago, I did some social media webinars for Avon, if we remember, ding dong, Avon Calling.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I run ad campaigns. I think my most exciting one last year was for a Russian rock band, not a Russian rock band, a Mexican rock band, yeah, who were coming over to the UK for one night only and needed to sell out a large venue in London. So I ran an advertising campaign for them. They had won Latin Emmys. I didn't know that was a thing, but an incredible band. And we did sell out their night in London.
Wow.
So sometimes it's about retained day-to-day work. Sometimes it's about one-off event work. So I've just been working with the Stenning Festival, for example, and they've had a fantastic week last week with loads of people attending talks and music concerts, all sorts of things. Sometimes it's about running ad campaigns, and sometimes it's about training. So a really good variety of different things.
I think that's fascinating about the Mexican band. I mean, goodness me, that is one heck of a project, like a one-off. It's not like you've even got a massive head of steam to warm people to the idea. You're like, boom, right in the middle of it. So I think all credit to you. And I know that a lot of what you do as well as having, so I know you've got some pretty impressive clients, is it's great that you do so much social media training where you actually share a lot of your know-how with businesses that might not be able to afford to have Michelle Betts on a retainer, but you still do quite a bit of that, don't you?
Yes, I do a lot of power hours with the one-to-one training to either cover off a topic where somebody's going, Instagram reels, don't really understand them, explain. Some people will come, will do a social media strategy and a content plan, and they'll take it away and implement it. But I love seeing those light bulbs going off during that session and people really starting to understand social media and get to grips with it. But I do a coaching service as well. So some people see me once a month and they have me effectively in their back pocket during the month to come to me, ask me questions, and then at the next meeting we'll review what they've done and plan moving forward. And that's lovely because you see the growth with them and their confidence building but they know they've always got me to fall back on if they need it.
I really like that. And you were talking about your power hours. It took me back to when I started my business and I used to offer marketing MOTs. They were a bit longer. They were 3 hours. And I ended up growing a really successful business on the back of these MOTs. I was doing about 4 a week with referrals from different government organizations. And suddenly these people then, some of them started to say, can we retain you for marketing? And it was like, I didn't go there with that intention. It was just to deliver the MOTs. And I think that your power hours are, pardon the pun, they're really powerful. But I've got something far more exciting that I want to talk to you about now. As you know, I am a huge fan of your fiction. I read your first book and I was like, is this my friend, Michelle Betts? It was as if some really, you know, super famous author had just chillingly released their next book. And it was like every page I'm thinking, oh, my goodness me. So let's now talk about Michelle Plater, the author, because you recently wrote a brilliant book, Smoke and Mirrors. I encourage every listener listening into this show, if you've got a holiday planned, if you've got downtime with a cup of coffee planned, or something a bit stronger, head to Amazon and buy Smoke and Mirrors. So I want to know, as a fellow author, what led you to writing fiction? And tell us a bit about your inspiration for Smoke and Mirrors.
So I think we all have that thing, don't we? Maybe there's a book inside us. And I'm very creative day to day with social media. So I like crafting stories for businesses, for clients. I love that side of the job, love being creative. It's why I outsource my accounting. Very good creatively, rubbish at the maths. And I think I was inspired in that I had a telephone call with somebody that then led into a meeting with them that I went, this would be a really good start for a book. And then bringing in a little bit of thinking about the smoke and mirrors of social media, because people quite often say to me, oh, we saw this. And I'm like, okay, that's not actually what's happening behind the scenes. And having worked with a couple of celebrities as well and seeing the smoke and mirrors of their lives and their social media, I went, this would be a really interesting topic for a book. So that meant Smoke and Mirrors was born, and I started writing that story. So the first two chapters, whilst they are fictionalized, they are based on real life events, but the rest of the book is entirely fictional, bar the horse ride in LA and the electric bike ride in LA, which I did do and wrote both of those experiences into the book just because they were fantastic experiences.
And what I want you to do now, just paint me a picture of the story of Smoke and Mirrors so that anybody listening to this thinks, yep, I love that. Well, tell me what the story, I know what the story is about, but you've got a minute, you're in your elevator pitch now. Tell me what is Smoke and Mirrors about?
So Cass is a social media agency owner who has started working with an actor who has an up-and-coming film. Things go a little bit wrong on his social media. She sorts them out. And there's a relationship starting to blossom. She goes out to work with him in LA, but then she's called back to the UK very urgently because something's happened in her life. And the story takes a little bit of a plot twist and a turn from there. So you're looking at a slow burn celebrity romance with lots of twists and turns along the way.
I read it and I was thinking today, I must reread it again. So how did it fare in the bestsellers in the charts?
So, as you know, fiction is a very competitive category, but it did launch in the top 50 fiction bestsellers, which I was blown away by because we know how many fiction books are released each day and romance is a hotly contested category. So to launch in the top 50 in the summer when everybody is looking for those beach reads or books to read around the pool, I was absolutely delighted.
I think as well, I know, same as you as an author, that the measure of a book, particularly a fiction book, and the category that you're in, is the measure is not how it gets in the bestsellers, it's how readers react to it. Because unless you've had a publishing deal with huge adverts on the London Underground or anywhere else in the world, very, very visible, high profile, high spend. So I think the fact that yours got into the bestsellers was just brilliant. And you've had some amazing reviews for the book, haven't you, from people that you don't even know? And haven't you had people from different countries write to you about the book?
Yes, so I had a lady in America contact me and ask me if she could buy two books and for me to sign them and send them to her. The same with a lady in Australia. And when I went to Social Media Marketing World in April, there was a lady who came up to me and said, I know you're here for social media, but I bought your book and I have it in my bag. Will you sign it for me? So I did a picture with her at a conference because she had my book in her bag for me to sign, which was an incredible feeling.
It's the most, honestly, it's the most amazing feeling in the world. I completely, in full acknowledgement of that with my own books, that going out, I've had a few bits where I've been in the supermarket or I've been at an event up north and somebody's mentioned that they've got my book. And we just feel wonderful, don't we, that somebody is, oh, you like my book? How fabulous. And just making that signature on their book is such a precious thing, isn't it?
It is.
So, we're now coming to our second and final break. And after the break, I'm going to be talking about Michelle's book that she followed up Smoke and Mirrors with, famously Festive, another great book. And we'll also talk about how she writes and if there are any other books, fiction and non-fiction, coming down the line.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick, and my fabulous guest, Michelle Guest. I called you Michelle Guest then. Michelle Guest is my cousin's name, Michelle Betts. I told you that I do have bloopers when I'm recording this show, but thankfully they pass muster. But I want to talk now about, you wrote another bestseller, which I absolutely loved, called Famously Festive. What inspired that, and how did that fare in the bestsellers?
So Famously Festive, as the title would indicate, is a Christmas-themed book. Now, there's a little bit of a story behind that one, in that I very sadly lost my brother last September, and I needed to have a form of escapism, something to do, and I like to write. That's my form of escapism, very creative, and I go into my own little book world and the world of the characters when I'm doing that. So I had a look through, because I wasn't in a position emotionally to start something brand new, but had a look through because I've always been writing and putting things down, and went, oh, I've got a novella there, which it's a good book, but it's maybe not quite the standard of Smoke and Mirrors. I'm in a lot of Facebook book groups, and at the time people were saying, oh, can anybody recommend me an autumnal book, something with a bit of pumpkin spice in? And I was like, ah, you're all going to want Christmas books soon. So if I took the book that I have and edited it and made it a Christmas book, that would meet a lot of what you were all asking for. So I sat down and lost myself creatively in doing a bit of a rewrite on that novella, and then launched it in November as a Christmas read, but B, an Advent book, because people wanted to explore reading a book which was a chapter a day that concluded on Christmas Eve. So I broke it down, 24 chapters, beautiful Advent book. However, that did come back to bite me, because I had a few readers come back and say, it's the 10th of December, you missold the book because I finished it. I'm like, well, why did you finish it? Well, because every chapter finishes on a cliffhanger and I couldn't put it down. So I said,
yes.
That was a bit of a you problem, not a me problem, that you couldn't put the book down. But I'm delighted you couldn't put it down. Weirdly, watching it, it was in, again, the top 50 books in the run-up to Christmas. But looking at my Amazon reports, it was still being read January, February and March. It was only April that the festive reads have tailed off.
That is astonishing. And do you know, I was just thinking when you were sharing that, perhaps the question that I should have asked you before we even got to this is, you are a really, really good writer. I've said you're up there with the best with your fiction. Where did this come from? Did you study creative writing at school? Have you got qualifications in it? I mean, you can't just write like you write and you wake up one day and think, I'll write a book and it's the standard that you write to.
So I did love creative writing when I was at school, but no training, just the love of writing stories when I was at school. And then I suppose I didn't write until I started writing social media posts, newsletters and blogs at the estate agents. And then that's gradually morphed into writing books.
You know, there's a bit of a narrative arc here, which is that you start working with an estate agent, you then discover you're really good at social media, you then discover you're really good at writing, you get an award for it, you learn about it, and the next thing you discover that you're really good at writing fiction books, which is just great. It's like the evolution of your creativity is what I see as we're chatting now. And what is the sequel? Because you can't just leave us all with smoke and mirrors and famously festive. I know we're going to talk about your non-fiction book in a moment, and I'm fascinated to talk about the fact that you write in cafes and on aeroplanes. But what's coming next? Because I feel that it's been a long time since a Michelle Plater book has hit the shelves.
So that's a good point, actually. I do write under a pseudonym because I like a little bit of separation between Michelle Betts by Jove Media and Michelle Plater by Jove Books. And I think it has taken a little while. I have got a third book coming. I'm on the final edit now. That has taken a while because I wrote it and sent it out to beta readers for some test feedback. And they came back and said, do you know what? We love the way Smoke and Mirrors was written, in that it's a dual point of view. You have Cass doing a chapter, Dev doing a chapter. You know what both characters are feeling and how their characters develop. In The Return Flight Theory, my third book, it was written from Ivy's perspective, and the test readers came back and went, but we'd love to hear it from Callum's perspective. So that's had an edit to bring in his voice into the book, so you're hearing from both characters. And I think, interestingly, all my books are standalones. You can read one without having to have read the others. However, if you do read them all, you will recognise certain characters that pop up in each book. So I think that's quite nice. There's a bit of familiarity there.
Yeah. So it's called Return Flight Theory. Is that right? And you said Ivy and Callum. So we've got to make a little note of that, haven't we?
Yes,
so you've got like a series of three then. You could have a box set of three for going out and doing book signings and talks. And so can we, before we talk about where you write, this whole journey of you as a writer, that you're now writing a non-fiction book. I don't think I've ever met anybody, and I'm a writer, as you know, I've written six books, but your output is prodigious, and I don't think I've ever met anybody that can spin so many plates and none of them fall on your head. I mean, they all come from the same well of your innate talent and creativity and ability to write, but nevertheless you are a sublime plate spinner, whereas for me various ones would be, I mean, I'm very clumsy anyway, they'd be crashing on my head. Can we just touch now on your non-fiction book? I just want to know what made you decide to write about non-fiction, and can you tell us a bit more about it?
I can. So, rather excitingly, By Jove turns 18 this year. So, By Jove Media will have been going 18 years in June. And obviously, I have seen platforms come and go. I've seen trends come and go. All sorts of things have evolved and shaped over those 18 years. And I went, do you know what? It'd be really interesting if there was a book that looked at what hasn't changed, what has been continuous throughout those 18 years on social media that hasn't changed, that if you brought them into your business and used them, would really make a difference, would help you reach your audience, would help you talk to people, would help you move things forward. And when I reckon I could distill that experience, I've got some great examples, having worked with lots of different clients in lots of different industries. So I'm distilling 18 years of knowledge into a social media book that is almost timeless, because I think if you wrote a book on Twitter 5 years ago, that book's going to be obsolete now, because it's not even called Twitter and it's a little bit the wild west of social media. So I wanted something that had some longevity, that a bit like your books, you could pick them up at any point and they would make absolute sense and be incredibly valuable. So that's what I'm aiming to do with my social media nonfiction book, is to give it longevity, but something people can really use to help them move things forward and make a change within their business.
You know, it's interesting, as you were saying that, in my head, I always get little words pop up in my head when my guests are talking. It was timeless. And I really identify with you there, because certainly with my, I'm going up to a town in the UK next month to speak at an event. And I'm talking about marketing on a shoestring. And I think I've been in marketing for 43 years. And I started out with the principles of marketing on a shoestring. And I always say that, you know, the fancy tools, they may have changed, but the strategy, the thinking, and fundamentally, we want to get more people smiling and rushing towards us, arms outstretched, saying, I want to buy your books, I want to do business with you, I want to recommend you. And I think that is a really, I say it's brave, but it's brave and brilliant what you are talking about. You're talking about taking, instead of all these latest how-to tips and tricks on social media, I think it's brave and brilliant, because I don't think anybody's done it. And I think it's brilliant because everybody needs it. So I reckon that you're going to be heading to best-selling status with that, because you're carving out a relevant difference, aren't you? Which is so important. You're delivering fundamentally what businesses need. It's like, yeah, I know all the shiny shoes of social media, but tell me the principles and the practices that remain unchanged, because they're built on a house of granite, not on shifting sands that will wash away. And so I'm not surprised, but I love that you're doing this. And before we talk about your career, I want you to tell me a bit about your writing, because I know when I was tracking your progress when you were writing Smoke and Mirrors, that you write in cafes and on aeroplanes. And can you share more about where you write?
So there's nothing I like more than writing in a busy cafe or 35,000 feet up. I found I can be very, very creative at 35,000 feet. And I don't like wasting time. I think you were talking about like lots of plate spinning and getting lots of things done. I'm not the sort of person that could just sit there and watch Netflix for 7 hours on an aircraft. I have to have a plan of what I'm going to do. And I look at that and go, I can get through a fair few chapters in that time. I was away over half term and we came back and I think the flight was 2.5 hours. And I sat and was editing the return flight theory while I was on the aircraft. So reading it through, screenshotting, making little notes on each page so that I could then come back and sit and do them. But it's that hubbub around you that I think it's kind of nice to have, but then I'm picking up little snippets of conversation. Mm-hmm. I think I've got a little notebook that says I'm a writer. Anything you do say may be taken down and used in a story. And yes, if you ever see me in a cafe or on a train, I've got my notebook out, I'm probably writing something down about somebody on that train or something somebody said in that cafe, because I'm like, oh, that's sparked a little thought for a character, a story, anything like that.
You know, what I think so powerful about that is it's obvious to me as a reader that that vibrancy, that hubbub around you, you actually bring that spirit into your writing. You always get this sense that when you're describing a scene, that's the one thing that I think was such a standout. I could really see myself in those spaces that you were describing, which is a talent of an author, that you're able to bring what's going on around you and bring it into the spirit of your book. So I just want to chat to you now about, I'm going to put you into the horns of a dilemma. If you had to choose one career, you can't choose both, social media or an author, what would that career be?
That's really putting me on the spot, Dee, I think, with that particular question, that I have to choose one or the other. I think looking at it, I have to say, by Jove, is turning 18 this year. So if I had to choose, which I would never want to do, maybe it would be time for a change to go full time with author. Because I think looking at the books, you've said they're very visual when you read them. And I'm a very visual person. That's probably what comes through in my writing, is looking at Smoke and Mirrors. I think it would make an amazing Netflix series. Looking at Famously Festive, it's got the holiday Love Actually vibes. That would make a really good film for Netflix. So I think if I went full time with it, I would be really pursuing more books, in terms of publishing, but also could I then get some of them optioned either for series or films?
I think also, well, something that we didn't touch upon, but we have got a few minutes, is that you actually produce these books yourself to an incredible standard. So you do the, you have, obviously you have them all edited, which is important, but you are in charge of the layout. You actually have your own designer. You get everything loaded up onto Amazon, is it Kindle Direct Publishing?
Yes.
You don't just write these brilliant books. You then manage the entire production process.
I do. So you're right. I have an editor who will go through it, make sure the whole story makes sense, challenge me on certain elements. I know with Smoke and Mirrors, I was devastated when a chapter came back with a red pen through it, but it was the right thing to do. They also pick up on things like that can't be the first time he's seen her handwriting, because he saw her handwriting then. Very good point. I will change that.
Yeah.
And I also have somebody who does what I call my red pen edit, which I think that is my most hated edit, because I'm apparently rubbish with a comma and I have to go through and change all the commas and everything like that. But very important to have those two bits done. But I am a little bit of a control freak, so I like the control over the cover. I have an amazing designer, Shannon, who she tied in famously Festive with Smoke and Mirrors. So it's got a similar look and feel, but a different vibe. So I love that. But then I'm self-taught in terms of formatting, getting it onto Amazon and everything else. But I like being able to do that. For me, it's part of the process.
Yeah, it's great, because not everybody could do that. But I think this is also your innate approach to social media, which is highly practical. You get all the technical stuff under your belt. You're not after chasing viral or being superficial. And I just see it's the same Michelle that applies herself for being a social media person with this international reputation is the exact same person who's not just writing these books, but it's the attention that you bring to their production. So we've got your latest, when is your next fiction book coming? We didn't say when that was coming out, and we didn't say when your non-fiction book is coming out. So let's just pin you down right now to dates.
So The Return Flight Theory will be out by the end of this month, because it's an amazing holiday read. It is set between the UK and Venice this time, so you get a real flavour for Venice, the canals, the little streets. I love that. And I'm so fond of Ivy and Callum and their journey that I can't wait to release that to everyone. So that will be the end of this month. And then the non-fiction book will be July. So I've got two coming up very quickly. I'm more than halfway through the nonfiction. I've been writing them concurrently. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting summer.
I'm looking forward to these book launches. And, of course, I get to review them, don't I, in my role as commissioning editor of Sussex Exclusive. I get to review your books, which is super exciting. And so, I mean, it's been fantastic having you on the show today, Michelle, and we're moving into the final part now, which is I wanted you to share the motivational quote that inspires you, and then you've got a question for me, which I don't know what it is. So let's go to your motivational quote first.
So for me, my motivational quote for anything is it takes time and effort to build a business. It's something somebody said to me a very long time ago, and I think that applies with anything. It's time and effort to write the books. The more effort you put in, the better the results will be. With social media accounts, it takes time and effort to build the social media accounts, to build the audiences, but it is worth it to get the right people. And with business, it's time and effort to build a business. People think, you and I talk about people selling snake oil. Yes. Those people that are saying, buy my $37 course and you too could have a six-figure business. It does take time and effort. There's no quick wins, shortcuts. You've got to put that work into it. So I think that's the ethos that I live by.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. And it's interesting about the snake oil mergers, because we've had several conversations, and I can recall somebody putting a post out saying they were going to show businesses how they could get £40,000 a month clients or $40,000 a month clients, and thinking, this is not the real world. It's selling. It goes back to the being viral. You can have this really hyped up headline, but look at what's underneath it. There's very little underneath it. And I think that's why we need professionals like you, particularly in social media, that sharing that powerful message of the time it takes, because you could so easily be the opposite. And I would imagine you would fill your business to overflowing if you went out there selling this viral message. So I think it's great that we've got people like you that are sharing such a powerful message that businesses need to hear. I was going to say it takes time and effort to build a book, which is what you're famous for doing. So we're at the time in the show today when the tables are flipped and you ask me a question. I just wondered, what is your question for me today?
So let's talk about your work as an author. You have written an incredible plethora of marketing books. I think I have all of them, some of them signed, and they've been an incredible help to me while I've been within By Jove. You've written an amazing fiction book, The Boutique, which again, I hoovered up, really enjoyed The Boutique. What's next? Have you got another book in you? Is there something else coming? Is something else bubbling? Because I would love to know what's next for Dieblick the author?
Wow. Well, I think I would rule out another non-fiction book at this stage, and that's because, as you know, I'm going into magazine publishing, print magazines, and that's going to feature heavily on my landscape in the next couple of years, where I'll be producing, as you know, with Lucy Pitts, who was the very first guest I interviewed on this show. So we're producing gorgeous print magazines, and I'm going to be investing the same sort of approach that you take to writing a book. You know, each contributor's got to be beautifully written. It has to form part of the story. And so that is where my time and energy will lie over the next few years. However, I am halfway through writing Beyond the Boutique.
Oh.
Which is, it's really interesting because I think you're a much better fiction writer than I am, without a shadow of a doubt. But I found my feet with fiction as a little girl. And then I wrote The Boutique, which was almost like a continuation of being the little girl that had written all her life creative stories. And when I started writing Beyond the Boutique, so where have the characters gone? And I've done some radical overhauls, brought in new characters, other characters have gone. It's absolutely flowing. And I think the reason why it's flowing is I found my feet with the first book, that I have the confidence, and I've also brought the characters much closer to my heart. And I'm halfway through it, and I feel a sense of liberation. That the first fiction book, I felt a bit of pressure that I've got to make sure that it's well received, that it's not got faults and all the rest of it. Now I'm just enjoying it. So do I know when it will be produced? Not yet, because I'm working hard on the magazines, but that is definitely in the offing. So that's a great question. Thank you.
I think there's two things to pick up there, in that I can't wait for the second fiction book to come out. Those characters, we know as authors, they start to mean so much to you. You know them really personally, and that can be quite an emotional journey. But with the magazine, I always say to people about their social media, imagine your social media, you print off all the posts and put them together as a magazine. Would it be something you would pick up and read? Ooh. So it's interesting with what you said about putting it together with articles, because that's what I say to people about their social media. If you scrolled through, would it be a magazine you would pick up and read?
That's wonderful. Well, Michelle, it's been an absolute joy to have you on today's show. So I want to thank you, and I will definitely get you back on. When those two books are writing the bestsellers, I will grab you before you're snapped up by somebody else. So thank you so much for coming on here today, and I hope you've enjoyed it.
I have. I've had a fantastic time. Thank you so much for having me, Dee.
That's lovely. So that was the marvellous Michelle Betts. And I really hope you enjoyed listening to Michelle's story and her journey. And what are the things I'd like you to take away from it? I think one is that, as we saw with Michelle, and I'm sure it's exactly the same with you, that you are multi-talented. That if you were to sit down and write about all your amazing qualities and attributes and the things that you love, of course, the theme running through it is you. But I bet there's a commonality there. If we look at Michelle, It was her natural talent with social media and being creative and writing that then took her into founding her own business and doing it in a much more mainstream manner for lots of clients. But she then channeled that love of writing into writing books, fiction and nonfiction. And I think what Michelle did, she gave herself permission to be brilliant and to shine. She didn't have doubts crouching around her saying she shouldn't be doing this. Why should she write fiction or nonfiction? She threw herself in, she enjoyed the process, and she gobbled up all her spare time in cafes and on aeroplanes writing. So I really hope that the message you take from today's show is you are so much more capable than you probably allow yourself credit, that there's probably loads of connected projects that you have yet to explore. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not quite ready for it, or would I be any good at it? And I would say, be like Michelle, abandon it and go forward, because you never know where it will take you. On your next aeroplane, you could be writing your first fiction or nonfiction book. You could be starting your journal. You could be even looking at a new career that plays to your talents and your strengths. So as usual, that's me, Dee, signing off from today's show, recommending once again that you step into your circle of power, arms outstretched to the universe, saying, I'm here, bring all the good stuff for me. And that until next week, thank you for joining me.
You've been listening to Lead Well, Live Well on UK Health Radio.